Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the morning segment of the Tuesday, March 14th episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd, your host. The Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a humble member of the Christian podcast community. You can find us over at christianpodcastcommunity.org. Definitely recommend you get over there and take a look. More listening, more great listening than you're going to have time to listen to, honestly. But I would definitely encourage you to go over there. You will not waste your time. It will definitely be worth your while. I want to continue to point you at the final link in our show notes. It's for the Vail Valley Baptist Church Give Send Go campaign. What we're trying to do is we're trying to rapidly pay off our mortgage so that we can commence work on developing a Christian classical education-based school. We want to do that to provide an alternative in our community. So go ahead and click on the link. You'll get a much more thorough description than I've just given you. And then we would ask three things of you. We would ask you to pray for us. We would ask you to prayerfully consider giving to us. And then we would ask you to pass the link along so others can do the same. All right. Well, we're going to do our Bible reading this morning. And then this evening, the reading in Thomas Watson's The Godly Man's Picture is a shorter one. Chapter 10 is what we're reading. It's very, very short. But honestly, I need that. I hope what is allergies whooping on me pretty bad. So just going to do that short piece this evening for the evening segment. But I continue to hope it's edifying, and then we'll get into, God willing, chapter 11 tomorrow night. I think that's a longer one, a really longer one. So I may have to break that up in parts. So we'll see how that goes, but let's go ahead and get started. We'll go ahead and open up with our third day morning prayer. It's called God, Creator and Controller. Let's pray. Most High God, the universe with all its myriad creatures is thine, made by thy word, upheld by thy power, governed by thy will. But thou art also the Father of mercies, the God of all grace, the bestower of all comfort, the protector of the saved. Thou hast been mindful of us, hast visited us, preserved us, given us a goodly heritage, the holy scriptures, the joyful gospel, the Savior of souls. We come to thee in Jesus' name, make mention of his righteousness only, plead his obedience and sufferings, who magnified the law both in its precepts and penalty, and made it honorable. May we be justified by his blood, saved by his life, joined to his spirit. Let us take up his cross and follow him. May the agency of thy grace prepare us for thy dispensations. Make us willing that thou shouldst choose our inheritance and determine what we shall retain or lose, suffer or enjoy. If blessed with prosperity, may we be free from its snares and use, not abuse, its advantages. May we patiently and cheerfully submit to those afflictions which are necessary when we are tempted to wander, hedge up our way, excite in us abhorrence of sin, wean us from the present evil world. Assure us that we shall at last enter Emmanuel's land, where none is ever sick, and the sun will always shine. All right, now our morning devotion from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening for March 14th. The text is from 1 Corinthians 10:12. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. It is a curious fact that there is such a thing as being proud of grace. A man says, I have great faith, I shall not fall. Poor little faith may, but I never shall. I have fervent love, says another. I can stand. There is no danger of my going astray. He who boasts of grace has little grace to boast of. Some who do this imagine that their graces can keep them, knowing not that the stream must flow constantly from the fountainhead, or else the brook will soon be dry. If a continuous stream of oil comes not to the lamp, though it burn brightly today, it will smoke tomorrow, and noxious will be its scent. Take heed that thou gloriest not in thy graces, but let all thy glorying and confidence be in Christ, and his strength, for only so canst thou be kept from falling. Be much more in prayer, spend longer time in holy adoration, read the scriptures more earnestly and constantly, watch your lives more carefully, live nearer to God, take the best examples for your pattern, let your conversation be redolent of heaven, let your hearts be perfumed with affection for men's souls. So live that men may take knowledge of you, that you have been with Jesus and have learned of him, and when that happy day shall come, when he whom you love shall say, "Come up higher," may it be your happiness to hear him say, "Thou hast fought a good fight, thou hast finished thy course, and henceforth there is laid up for thee a crown of righteousness which fadeth not away." On, Christian, with care and caution, on with holy fear and trembling, on with faith and confidence in Jesus alone, and let your constant petition be, "Uphold me according to thy word." He is able, and he alone, to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. All right. Well, now our reading, we're going to be reading Numbers 21 and into 22, and then a section out of Luke 1, Psalm 57, and then Proverbs 11, verses 9 through 11. So Numbers 21, hear the word of the Lord. Then the Canaanite, the king of Arad, who lived in the Negev, heard that Israel was coming by the way of Atharim, and he fought against Israel and took some of them captive. So Israel made a vow to Yahweh and said, "If you will indeed give this people into my hand, then I will devote their cities to destruction." Then Yahweh heard the voice of Israel and gave the Canaanites over, so they devoted them and their cities to destruction. Thus the name of the place was called Hormah. Then they set out from Mount Hor by the way to the Red Sea, to go around the land of Edom, and the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this miserable food." So Yahweh sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And then the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned because we have spoken against Yahweh and against you. Pray to Yahweh that he may remove the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. Then Yahweh said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a standard, and it will be that everyone who is bitten and looks at it will live." And Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on the standard, and it happened that if a serpent bit, any man, when he looked to the bronze serpent, he lived. Then the sons of Israel set out and camped in Oboth. They then set out from Oboth and camped at Ai Abarim, in the wilderness which is opposite Moab, east toward the sunrise. From there they set out and camped in Wadi Zered. From there they set out and camped on the other side of the Arnon, which is in the wilderness that comes out of the border of the Amorites. For the Arnon is the border of Moab, between Moab and the Amorites. Therefore it is said in the book of the wars of Yahweh, "Waheb and Zuphah, and the Wadis of the Arnon, and the slope of the Wadis that extends to the site of Ar, and leans to the border of Moab." And from there they continued to Beer, that is the well where Yahweh said to Moses, "Assemble the people that I may give them water." Then Israel sang this song, "Spring up, O well, sing to it, the well which the leaders dug, which the nobles of the people carved out, with the scepter and with their staff." And from the wilderness they continued to Matana, and from Matana to Nahaliel, and from Nahaliel to Bamoth, and from Bamoth to the valley that is in the land of Moab at the top of Pisgah, which overlooks the wasteland. Then Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites, saying, "Let me pass through your land. We will not turn off into field or vineyard. We will not drink water from wells. We will go by the king's highway until we have passed through your border." But Sihon would not allow Israel to pass through his border. So Sihon gathered all his people and went out to meet Israel in the wilderness, and came to Jahaz and fought against Israel. Then Israel struck him with the edge of the sword and took possession of his land from the Arnon to the Jabbok, as far as the sons of Ammon. For the border of the sons of Ammon was Jazer. And Israel took all these cities, and Israel lived in all the cities of the Amorites, in Heshbon and in all her towns. For Heshbon was the city of Sihon, king of the Amorites. Now it was he who had fought against the former king of Moab, Moab, and it had taken all his land out of his hand, as far as the Arnon. Therefore those who use Proverbs say, "Come to Heshbon, let it be built, so let the city of Sihon be established." For a fire went forth from Heshbon, a flame from the town of Sihon. It devoured Ar of Moab, the dominant heights of the Arnon. Woe to you, O Moab! You perish, O people of Chemosh! He has given his sons as fugitives, and his daughters into captivity. To an Amorite king, Sihon, but we have cast them down. Heshbon perishes as far as Dibon, and we have made desolate even to Nophah, which reaches to Medeba. Thus Israel lived in the land of the Amorites. And Moses sent to spy out Jazer, and they captured its towns and dispossessed the Amorites who were there. Then they turned and went up by the way of Bashan, and Og, the king of Bashan, went out to meet them, he and all his people, for battle at Edrei. But Yahweh said to Moses, "Do not fear him, for I have given him into your hands, and all his people, and all his land, and you shall do to him as you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who lived at Heshbon." So they struck down him and his sons, and all his people, until there was no survivor remaining for him, and they possessed his land. Numbers 22, verses 1 through 20. Then the sons of Israel set out and camped in the plains of Moab, beyond the Jordan, opposite Jericho. And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. So Moab was in great fear because of the people, for they were numerous, and Moab was in dread of the sons of Israel. Then Moab said to the elders of Midian, "Now this assembly will lick up all that is around us, as the ox licks up the grass of the field." And Balak the son of Zippor was king of Moab at that time. So he sent messengers to Balaam the son of Beor at Pethor, which is near the river, in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, "Behold, a people came out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the surface of the land, and they are settled opposite me. So now please come, curse this people for me, since they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I may be able to strike them down and drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed." So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian went away with the fees for divination in their hand. And they came to Balaam and spoke Balak's words to him. And he said to them, "Spend the night here, and I will bring word back to you as Yahweh may speak to me." And the leaders of Moab stayed with Balaam. Then God came to Balaam and said, "Who are these men with you?" And Balaam said to God, "Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent word to me. Behold, there is a people who came out of Egypt, and they cover the surface of the land. Now come, curse them for me. Perhaps I may be able to fight against them and drive them out." And God said to Balaam, "Do not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed." So Balaam arose in the morning and said to Balak's leaders, "Go back to your land, for Yahweh has refused to allow me to go with you." And the leaders of Moab arose and came to Balak and said, "Balaam refused to go with us." Then Balak again sent leaders, more numerous and more honorable than the former. And they came to Balaam and said to him, "Thus says Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I beg you, withhold you from coming to me. For I will indeed honor you richly, and I will do whatever you say to me. Please come then, curse this people for me." And Balaam replied to the servants of Balak, "Though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not do anything, either small or great, to trespass the command of Yahweh my God. So now please, you also stay here tonight, and I will know what else Yahweh will speak to me." And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, "If the men have come to call you, rise up and go with them, but only the word which I speak to you shall you do." All right, now Luke 1, verses 26 through 56. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement, and was pondering what kind of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and there will be no end of his kingdom. But Mary said to the angel, How will this be, since I am a virgin? The angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, Behold, the slave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now at this time Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has looked upon the humble state of his slave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done a mighty deed with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his seed forever. And Mary stayed with her about 3 months, and then returned to her home. All right. Psalm 57. For the choir director, Altasheth of David, of Michdam, when he fled from Saul in the cave. Be gracious to me, O God, be gracious to me, for my soul takes refuge in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will take refuge, until destruction passes by. I will call to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He reproaches him who tramples upon me. Selah. God will send his loving kindness and his truth. My soul is among lions. I am lying down among those who breathe forth fire. Sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth. They have set a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They dug a pit before me. They themselves have fallen into the midst of it. Selah. My heart is set. O God, my heart is set. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises. Awake, my glory. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your loving kindness is great to the heavens, and your truth to the skies. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth. All right, and finally, Proverbs 11, verses 9 through 11. With his mouth the godless man corrupts his neighbor, but through knowledge the righteous will be rescued. When it goes well with the righteous, the city exults, and when the wicked perish, there is joyful shouting. By the blessing of the upright, a city is raised up, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is torn down. All right, well, that is our reading for the day. All right. Well, I hope you have a wonderful day. I would continue to implore you to do all that you do for the glory of God. Sorry, I lost my page here that I'm going to read to you from. Flipping pages here. I hope to see you in the evening hour for our evening segment. And let's go ahead and close out this morning segment. Here we go. With a prayer from Valley of Vision, it's called Morning Dedication. Let's pray. Almighty God, I cross the threshold of this day. I commit myself, soul, body, Oh, I'm sorry. I read that wrong. Almighty God, as I cross the threshold of this day, I commit myself, soul, body, affairs, friends, to thy care. Watch over, keep, guide, direct, sanctify, bless me. Incline my heart to thy ways. Mold me wholly into the image of Jesus, as a potter forms clay. May my lips be a well-tuned harp to sound thy praise. Let those around see me living by thy Spirit, trampling the world underfoot, unconformed to lying vanities, transformed by a renewed mind, clad in the entire amount and in the entire armor of God, shining as a never-dimmed light, showing holiness in all my doings. Let no evil this day soil my thoughts, words, hands. May I travel miry paths with a life pure from spot or stain. In needful transactions, let my affection be in heaven, and my love soar upwards in flames of fire. My gaze fixed on unseen things, my eyes open to the emptiness, fragility, mockery of earth and its vanities. May I view all things in the mirror of eternity, waiting for the coming of my Lord, listening for the last trumpet call, hasting unto the new heaven and earth. Order this day all my communications according to thy wisdom, and to the gain of mutual good. Forbid that I should not be profited or made profitable. May I speak each word as if my last word, and walk each day as my final one. If my life should end today, let this be my best day. Amen. All right. Well, like I said, I hope you have a wonderful day, and God willing, I'll see you this evening. Have a good one. God bless.
Welcome to the evening segment of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast.
Good evening and welcome to the evening segment of the Tuesday, March 14th episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I continue to be Wayne Floyd, your host. Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a humble member of the Christian podcast community. You can find us over at christianpodcastcommunity.org. Definitely worth your while. A lot of great listening over a broad range of topics. There's nothing over there that you're not going to find something over there that is key for you to listen to, that is something you're interested in. So again, would definitely encourage you to get over there. Like I said, this evening segment's going to be pretty short. Our reading from Thomas Watson's The Godly Man's Picture is a very short chapter. But honestly, I need the rest time and the recovery time to make sure that I get over whatever is going on, whether it's allergies or whatever else. So let's go ahead and open up with prayer from Valley of Vision. This one is called To Be Fit for God. Let's pray. Thou maker and sustainer of all things, day and night are thine. Heaven and earth declare thy glory. But I, a creature of thy power and bounty, have sinned against thee by resisting the dictates of conscience, the demands of thy law, the calls of thy gospel. Yet I live under the dispensation of a given hope. Deliver me from worldly dispositions, for I am born from above and bound for glory. May I view and long after holiness, as the beauty and dignity of the soul. Let me never slumber, never lose my assurance, never fail to wear armor when passing through enemy land. Fit me for every scene and circumstance. Stay my mind upon thee, and turn my trials to blessings, that they may draw out my gratitude and praise, as I see their designs and effects. Render my obedience to thy will holy, natural, and delightful. Rectify all my principles by clear, consistent, and influential views of divine truth. Let me never undervalue or neglect any part of thy revealed will. May I duly regard the doctrine and practice of the gospel, prizing its command as well as its promises. Sanctify me in every relation, office, transaction, and condition of life, that if I prosper, I may not be unduly exalted. If I suffer, I may not be overly sorrowful. Balance my mind in all varying circumstances, and help me to cultivate a disposition that renders every duty a spiritual privilege. Thus may I be content, be a glory to thee, and an example to others. Amen. All right, now the evening devotion from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening for March 14th. The text is from Psalm 39:1. I will take heed to my ways. Fellow pilgrim, Say not in your heart, I will go hither and thither, and I shall not sin. For you are never so out of danger of sinning as to boast of security. The road is very miry. It will be hard to pick your path, so as not to soil your garments. This is a world of pitch. You will need to watch often, if in handling it you are to keep your hands clean. There is a robber at every turn of the road to rob you of your jewels. There is a temptation in every mercy. There is a snare in every joy. And if you ever reach heaven, it will be a miracle of divine grace to be ascribed entirely to your Father's power. Be on your guard. When a man carries a bombshell in his hand, he should mind that he does not go near a candle. And you too must take care that you enter not into temptation. Even your common actions are edged tools. You must mind how you handle them. There is nothing in this world to foster a Christian piety, but everything to destroy it. How anxious should you be to look up to God, that he may keep you. Your prayer should be, "Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe." Having prayed, you must also watch, guarding every thought, word, and action with holy jealousy. Do not expose yourselves unnecessarily, but if called to exposure, if you are bidden to go where the darts are flying, never venture forth without your shield. For if once the devil finds you without your buckler, he will rejoice that his hour of triumph is come, and will soon make you fall down wounded by his arrows. Though slain, you cannot be wounded, you may be. Though slain, you cannot be, wounded, you may be. Be sober, be vigilant. Danger may be in an hour when all seemeth securest to thee. Therefore take heed to thy ways, and watch unto prayer. No man ever fell into error through being too watchful. May the Holy Spirit guide us in all our ways. So shall they always please the Lord. All right. So like I said, we're going to read chapter 10 of Thomas Watson's The Godly Man's Picture. And as I've said before, this is not just for men, okay? That's how Watson wrote it. But he's talking about what the godly person should look like, what that godly person should model, how they should act, how they should behave. And he tells them how to do so. So, we're in chapter 10 today, and chapter 10 is the counsel for the godly. So, let's read. Use 3. Let me, in the next place, direct myself to those who have a real work of godliness in their hearts, and I would speak to them by way of 1. Caution. 2. Counsel. 3. Comfort. Number 1. By way of caution. That they do not blur these characteristics of grace in their souls. Though God's children cannot quite deface their graces, yet they may disfigure them. Too much carnal liberty may weaken their evidences, and so dim their luster, that they cannot be read. These characteristics of the godly are precious things. Gold and crystal cannot be compared with them. Oh, keep them fair written in your hearts, and they will be so many living comforts in a dying hour. It will not frighten a Christian to have all the signs of death in his body, when he can see all the signs of grace in his soul. He will say with Simeon, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace." Luke 2:29. By way of counsel, number 2, by way of counsel. You who are enriched with the treasures of godliness, bless God for it. This flower does not grow in nature's garden. You had enlisted yourselves under the devil and taken pay on his side, fighting against your own happiness. And then that God should come with converting grace and put forth a loving and gentle force, causing you to espouse his quarrel against Satan. When you had lain many years soaking in wickedness, as if you had been parboiled for hell, that then God should lay you steeping in Christ's blood and breathe holiness into your heart. Oh, what cause you have to write yourselves down as eternal debtors to free grace. He that does not give God the praise for his grace denies that God is the author of it. Oh, acknowledge the love of God, admire distinguishing mercy, and set the crown of your praise on the head of free grace. If we are to be thankful for the fruits of the earth, then much more for the fruits of the Spirit. It is good that there is an eternity coming when the saints shall triumph in God and make his praise glorious. Number 3. By way of comfort. You that have only the least dram of godliness and sincerity, let me give you 2 rich consolations. Number 1. Jesus Christ will not discourage the weakest grace, but will cherish and preserve it to eternity. Number 2. Grace which is but newly budded shall by the beams of the Son of Righteousness be prepared and ripened into glory. This I will speak about more fully in the next chapter. All right, and that is our chapter for the day. I told you it was going to be short. Again, thank you for spending this time with me today, both morning and evening. I hope it is edifying. I pray that it is edifying for you. I'm not doing this for myself. I'm doing it for you. I'm doing it for God. I'm doing it to bring glory to God. But I hope it's edifying for you, this spending time in the Word and spending time and writings of a great man of God, Thomas Watson. Like I said, as we get later in the week, we're going to come back into our Bible study in John chapter 6. So be ready for that. And I'm going to go and try to get some rest. And since I didn't get much sleep last night due to whatever's going on, hopefully I'll get some good sleep tonight. But I hope you have a wonderful evening. And God willing, I hope to see you in the morning. Let's go ahead and pray. We're going to be closing out with the third day evening prayer. It's called Before Sleep. And oh boy, yeah, before my sleep. All right, let's pray. God of all sovereignty, thy greatness is unsearchable, thy name most excellent, thy glory above the heavens. 10,000 minister to thee, 10,000 times 10,000 stand before thee. In thy awful presence we are less than nothing. We do not approach thee because we deserve thy notice, for we are sinners. Our necessities compel us. Thy promises encourage us. Our broken hearts incite us. The mediator draws us. Thy acceptance of others moves us. Look thou upon us and be merciful unto us. Convince us of the penalty and pollution of sin. Give us faith to believe and believing to have life in Jesus. May we enter into his sufferings. Let us see thy hand in the instruments of our grief, rejoicing that they are from thy overruling providence. Let not our weeping hinder sowing, nor sorrow duty. While living in a world of change, let us seek the abiding city. Be with us to our journey's end, that we may glorify thee in death as in life. We bless thee for preservation, supplies, mercies, and to thee, keeper of souls, we commit all we are and have. May no evil befall us, no sickness come nigh us, no horror disturb us. May our conscience be clear, our hearts pure, our sleep sweet, and with the innumerable company who neither slumber nor rest, we join in ascribing blessing, honor, glory, and power to the Lamb upon the throne, forever and ever. Amen. All right, again, thanks for spending this time with me. I hope you have a wonderful evening, and God willing, I will see you in the morning. Have a good night. God bless.